Phyllis has just gotten better, and it's that time of year when, as I like to say, because I work around kids, the cooties are floating around. So be careful, wash your hands, and also take care of yourself, because it is the time when flu season is upon us and illnesses, being inside with the cold weather. Not everybody's like myself who loves being outside in the cold. So close proximity also gives us the chance, the opportunity to come in contact with those cooties. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. I mentioned this morning, I'm going to talk about the common sin. My lesson title tonight is Sense Enough to Talk to a Burning Bush. Do you have sense enough to talk to a burning bush? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse number 1. We're going to spend almost all of our time in verses 1 through 12 because, you know, we can learn a lot from the Old Testament. Therefore, our learning. And these things really apply to us today, and we can learn lessons from them today. And more importantly, just about all the Old Testament, either in direct command or inference, points to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ anyway. So it's good for us to know, but when you study these things, I was, sometimes if you're like myself, you just get into certain books. I was studying the book of Exodus, and then I just realized how much stuff I had missed in just studying the book of Exodus. How many lessons I've learned. So I've been in Exodus and Deuteronomy a lot, so don't be surprised. We hear a lot of lessons from those because there's a lot of things we can learn. So maybe a young person of Bible study, when you really get into something, it just really gets better. And it really starts to engage you, and you really pick out so many lessons. So hopefully that can help us today. We're going to start with verse 1. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 reads as such. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midianites, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now here is Moses. Why is this significant? 40 years before this, Moses was in Pharaoh's house. 40 years he had been in the wilderness, being a shepherd. Now, if Moses was like many of us, he probably thought that God had somehow punished him and took away the good life. Moses had it made. He was in Pharaoh's house. He was a person of power. But he knew all along, because his mother taught him early, looking at scripture, that he was an Israelite. So he had a heart for those people. And all he did really to have to flee was stand up for one of his people that was being abused. Now he killed the Egyptian in defending his brother, and then because of that he had to flee for his life. But 40 years he was in the wilderness. He was 80 years old at this time. It lets us know age is nothing compared to God. But notice what he's doing. He's doing one of the most menial, base jobs there is. Shepherd and flock. But that's exactly what God wanted him, because he had something more from him. There's no better job, really, to train people during this time to deal with folks than being a shepherd. Because we're like sheep anyway. You learn a lot when you study sheep. I understand now in studying the nature of sheep why the Bible makes reference to us being like sheep in so many cases. Because we're like sheep. We're scared of everything. We get spooked easily. We don't pay attention to our surroundings. If not God, we just gaze on off the cliff of a mountain, graze on off the cliff of a mountain. So Moses is raising sheep at this point in time. So he's doing this in everyday things. And I'm going to make a point with that in a minute. He was doing at that point in time what he had to do. He was doing what he did, what he thought was right. Sometimes when we come across God and God comes to us, we meet God on the way somewhere else. We meet God on the way to doing something else. We oftentimes meet God in doing our daily abilities or daily chores. Don't be surprised if God just shows up in a normal day. Now, I know we live in a world of sensationalism. We live in a world that has dramatized our relationships with God, and there's a light shine around the bunch and all these other things that sometimes you run across. But make no mistake about it. God seeks to intervene in our everyday life in things that we do as we go about our day. Here is Moses shepherding sheep on the backside of God's mountain. Let's see what it says in verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, there was nothing unusual about burning bushes in the desert. Let's make that point. There was nothing out of the ordinary with that. That's why Moses was not spooked initially. He just wanted to see, when he looked at it, why it wasn't going through the normal course of action of being burned up. Can you imagine? In your backyard, you go out, there's a fire, a tree or a bush in your yard is on fire, but it's still just as green as the day it bloomed. Now you see the fire, you see the green leaves, no kindling, all you see is a fire. How many of us would go to investigate it? Most of us would call the fire department in a hurry. Or most of us would go inside to make sure we took our good medicine to make sure we weren't seeing things. But here's Moses going about his daily business, feeding sheep, and then look what happens. He says, he looked, and in the midst of the bush, he noticed that it was not consumed. And Moses said in verse number 3, he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not being burnt. What was Moses doing? He was going about his everyday life. Sometimes, don't be surprised when God shows up in our everyday life. You ever had that situation where you're just going about and then somehow, some way, you get blessed? All you're doing is your normal stuff that you do every day, and somehow, some way, you feel the presence of God near you, intervening for you. You didn't ask for it. All you were doing was going through your normal daily routine. That's how God oftentimes works. He gives us his example with Moses. But also, as I said before, Moses was already in preparation for what God had planned for him. So sometimes in life, don't knock where you are in life. Maybe God has you right there for a particular purpose. Maybe God has you right where you are so that he'll be able to use you for something in the future. Oftentimes we kick and scream and act like God has done us wrong if we are not where we think we should be. If we are not doing the things we think we should be doing, but make no mistake, God is still in control. You have to learn to trust him. We have to learn to trust him because he can use our very situation to do great works in our future. This is exactly what happened with Moses. Moses had no intention of going back to Egypt. Y'all know that, right? He had settled and he thought this was the rest of his lot in life. For 40 years, he didn't want to go back because he knew there was probably still a death threat on his head. He didn't want to go back. He had no intentions of going back. And what caught his eye was a burning bush. Not that the bush was burning, but that it was not consumed. So God used this to get his situation. He used this to get his attention. Moses discovered there's no time in life when we are free from the responsibility to save the lost. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, because Moses sometimes gets like us. Moses maybe thought he was retiring from God's work. Moses maybe thought that it was time for somebody else to step up. That's not how God works. And we have to be careful about making those designations on our own lives as well. God can use us and will use us at any point in our lives, whether we 8 or whether we 80. He can use us if he so chooses. Moses had made up in his mind. And you'll see why he starts giving these excuses later on. But can you imagine Moses? You imagine what Moses went through. Can you imagine Moses had settled in on this life and he was just going to do this until he left his last breath? But God had other plans for him. But how did he get his attention? On the way to doing something else. Then let's see what it says in verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, he was not expecting the voice of God or the voice of the angel to come out of that bush. That's not what he was expecting. He was trying to figure out, because he'd seen several bushes burn before, he was trying to figure out why this one wasn't being burned up like the rest of them. Do you think God knew that? Absolutely. Do you think God was going to do this and come to Moses and tell him his plan while Moses was on his regular part of life, doing the regular things he does in life? Absolutely. But what about us? One of the things I think sometimes we do a disservice of is sometimes we feel like God doesn't care. He's not involved in our daily affairs of our life. That's one of the worst things we can tell ourselves. As I said this morning in my lesson, do not be deceived. Make no mistake about it. Do not be deceived. God knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. He knows how much you need of it. He's there with you. He's there in front of you, already preparing a way, just like he did with Moses. So why do we worry and fret so much? Why are we so discouraged sometimes? Why do sometimes we seem like we're lost? We've lost all hope in things getting better. Why is that? My question is, you're basing that on your abilities and not God's. I've been there before. I can tell you. Sometimes you wonder why you're going through certain things or why you're at a certain point in life. All I can ask you to do is learn to trust God. He has something special for you. There's no reason to fret. Just like Moses, he probably got up that morning, latched on his sandals, got up, got his rod and his staff, and off to another day of work, dealing with these dumb sheep, keeping them from being eaten by wolves, keeping them safe, because he was working for his father Jethro. Keeping them safe. That's all he was planning on doing. And look at the experience he had. Let's see what else we can learn from this. Then he says what? And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside the sea, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, put yourself in that situation. You in your backyard. Now you see the bush burning. You know it's not being consumed. It's still green. And out of this burning bush, he says, Lewis, Lewis. Barbara, Barbara, what would you do? Most of us would think it's a ghost and take off running. I know I probably would initially, at least. Who's calling my name? I don't see anybody. I'm here trying to figure out why this bush is not being burned up. But at least Moses had enough to say, here am I. Did he understand everything at that time? No. So why do we worry about understanding everything and every aspect and every point of our life? Why is it so important for us to know how things end? Why is it so important for us to know why we go through certain things? We have to learn to trust God. Here again is Moses. Not being spooked by the burning bush. His curiosity got the best of him. He sees the bush not consumed. And then he hears a voice out of the bush. Think about that for a minute. What would you do? God still works that way today in many of our lives. Now, he doesn't speak to us the same way he does, but make no mistake, sometimes God gets our attention in the normal everyday routine and things that we do in our lives. Make no mistake about it. I know it's happened that way with me. I know I've learned a whole lot of lessons in just going about my everyday life. And all of a sudden, a scripture comes to mind. All of a sudden, a scenario comes to mind. All of a sudden, I remember something that I'm doing wrong. All of a sudden, I remember something I may have to repent of. All of a sudden, I remember that God is still on high. All of a sudden, I remember that I'm not alone. All of a sudden, I remember that God is on my side and he can handle anything that comes our way. That's what we see with Moses. But Moses is just like us. Now, the next point is, a lot of folks have questions about. Notice what he says to him next. Verse number 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Why in the world would God tell Moses to take his sandals off? Why would he do that? Well, there's certain reasons. There's two reasons in studying scripture and researching this that oftentimes comes to mind when folks look at this particular thing. What was customary during that time period, that when there were masters in the presence of slaves, slaves took their shoes off to show they were totally submitted to their will and obedient to their master. That's one reason. But I also think about this. When God really wants to do something with us, he wants us to remove all man-made barriers from our life. Sometimes that's why it seems like he's pulling on stuff. Sometimes those things you place before God, he has a right to blow on, because it's hindering our relationship with him. Think about that in your own life. Is there something between you and God? And the next question I ask is, do you wonder why it's not going right? That's the God that we serve. He's approaching a holy God. Moses knew that. He knew God. He was an Israelite. He's not new to the concept of the one God. The one God of all things. He knew it. But what was God teaching him and us? We have to approach God the right way. But what is the first thing he says do? Stop. You can't go any further. Sometimes God gets our attention to let us know there's something else we must do to get closer to him. That's dealing with sin, number one. God gets our attention sometime in life, but then the first thing we must do is do something with our sin. It could be a bad event. It could be something happening. But before we really get close to God, there's some things we got to clean up. There's some things we have to do. There's some things we have to remove from our lives so that we could be in the presence of a holy God. And this is where a lot of folks balk at their relationship with God. Because many of us may have given this answer. Well, you know what? God is hot and these sands out here burning and I've been on my feet all day. I'm not taking off my shoes. That's not going to happen. These bunions and corns on my feet, I got blisters already. Don't you see the holes? I'm already walking on holy ground because I got holes in the bottom of my sandals. He could have gave excuses like that. But you think God would have blessed him and blessed him like he did? The answer is no. So when God asks us to do something, there's a reason why he wants us to do it. Is there anything between you and your God today? And if it is, I wonder why things aren't quite working out right for you. I wonder why things seem to be going left when you try your best to pull them right. Is there anything in your life before God? And if so, God has a right to blow on it and pull on it. God has a right to make it blow up in our face. God has a right, even with our best effort, to make it fail in our lives. And it's not being a cruel God, but he's telling you, I got something better. He's letting you know, I have something else for you. He's letting you know that if you do things my way and humbly submit to me and take your proverbial sandals off your feet, you can really see who God is in your life. You can really feel his presence. Think about your own walk with him. And that's an individual question to ask. Is there anything between you and your God? And oftentimes it is. And I can explain. I can spell it in two words. M-E. Me. We are our worst enemy sometimes. And we'll see that later on because Moses had the same problem. That's why we can learn lessons from it. Let's see what else he tells them. Verse 6 says this. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now here's somebody who wasn't afraid to walk over to a burning bush without being consumed. But there was something in that burning bush that made Moses realize who he was and whose presence he was in. It happens to us in our lives as well. It could happen to you and I the same way. Here we see God really showing himself for who he was. Moses hid his face. He had realized, he had come to realize that this bush was not burning because God, or the presence of God in the form of an angel, was in this bush. Knew his name individually, and then it clicked. Oh my goodness. Who am I talking to? Who am I dealing with? Who is this reaching out to me? That's what we call sometimes a point in life when things change. Do you realize that God is speaking to us today through his word? Has it ever clicked to you that this is God's communication with us? Have you ever been able to look at scripture and say, oh my goodness, that speaks right to me and my situation. Who do you think it is talking to you? It's not me. This is not my book. It's God. That's who it is. He does the same thing to us. And what it should do, it should make us realize that he's real. Because I've heard folks say that before. Well, you must know what I'm going through. I don't know what anybody's going through. I just preach God's word the best it is and pray that it has an effect on somebody it needs to have an effect on. And I've heard it time and time again. And I'm telling you, I don't do it. I ain't got nobody's house bugged or nothing like that. It's just how God's word works. That's how it works. Same way it was with Moses. Moses, this is probably the only way that he could be reached. He was not at home most of the time because usually shepherding meant you was up before sun and you came home after the sun had dropped down. He wasn't at home a lot. He was out there by himself in his situation. We get the picture that folks that he was living with didn't come from the same background he came from and maybe didn't have the same relationship with knowledge of God that they had. But God had a plan for Moses. If we could only see what God sees. And then he says this in verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and they have heard and I heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I wish sometimes, and I have to be careful of this as well, and I try to. Are you really able to see the world as God sees it? Because if you do, it'll change your mind. God sees a world enslaved in sin. God sees a world that's hurting and Satan is destroying in sin. What about us today? I wonder sometimes, and this is kind of when I was preparing for this lesson, I think sometimes I watch a lot of sci-fi stuff, and even stuff about aliens. I watch it. I'm not saying it's true, but I like sci-fi stuff from time to time, a lot of times. But I wonder, just wonder, if somebody came to this world, from off, not of this world, not in the world we grew up in or we have now, our earth, and they ran into contact with a Christian, what would they think a Christian was? Come together a couple times a week, usually on Sundays and Wednesdays. Seems like a nice group of people, but I think they would miss the fact that we're not doing our job, which is seeking and saving the lost. I wonder if they would include that in their description of us. No prior knowledge of a Christian, just based on what they see, what would this person or this being say? Would he say you're about the Lord's business? Would he say that you're really trying to help free folks from from slavery of sin with the gospel? Because that's what we're all about. That's what it means when our mission is to seek and to save the lost. Lost in what? Lost in sin. Lost in this world. How in the world can we look around every day of our lives? And this is something I'm going to bring Sunday morning to, and just act like everything's okay. You see lost people everywhere if you see and learn to see things through God's way. And you can do it because why? Because God dwells in us. Our spirit identifies with His spirit. His spirit groans for sin. What about us? Moses didn't have this at the time. But we'll see that he grew it and that he came to it. Let's see what else it says. Verse 8 says this, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Now notice what he says. I have come down to rescue these people. Is that not what Jesus did for us? That's why you can learn so many things from it. When we see scriptures like, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son," He didn't give Him just to come down and have a good time. He didn't give Him because He didn't have anything else better to do. He sent Jesus to have us a way to be free from sin, as the only way to be free from sin. God is saying the same thing to Moses here. That's why everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of things that we see coming to fruition or reality in the New Testament. This, again, is the same thing. This example of Moses and God rescuing the Israelites from Egypt is the same reason, and for the same reason He sent Christ down to this earth. He says, "I am come down." But notice something else here. God says, "I am come down." But then He says this in verse number 9. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Now look at this point. You may say, "Okay, God, great. You've seen them. That's great. I feel bad for them, and I know they're in trouble." But notice what He says in verse number 10. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Whoa, God, wait a minute. You said you were going to get them, not me. You said you came down from heaven, not me. But that's how God works. He works through us. When God says, "I've come down," He's come down in the form of His body, the church. That's how He's come down today. That's our mission today. Just like it was with Moses. God says, "I've come down, but I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." Wait a minute, God. You said you. That's a, as we like to say sometimes, Jasmine, that's a them type of problem. That's a God type of problem. Wait, I didn't sign up for this. Where in the world does Moses say that was his lifelong mission? To free these folks out of Israel. He felt bad for them. He knew that was some folks over there he loved. But Moses settled into another life. What about us? Because sometimes we're in the same boat as Moses. As long as we're going along doing our everything thing in life, we have no cause, no heart for the lost. That's them over there. That's their problem. That's their sin problem. But no, it's not that. God has sent us. He has placed us into His body to train us, to equip us, to go back out to seek and to save the lost. That's the cycle that we ought to be looking forward to. Just look around. You don't have to leave your neighborhood. You don't have to leave your street. How many folks are lost on your street, in your neighborhood? Now let's get a little bit closer, more intimate. How many folks are lost in your own biological family that you have not even taken time to talk to, that you've not even said, I'm concerned about you, I love you, there's a way to deal with sin? Now see, we don't do that. And we're all guilty of it, from me on down, for not taking advantage of those opportunities. But I want to do more of it, because many times we give God the same answer. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Where in the world in Scripture do you see that God said, Moses, you got to do it by yourself? That's our problem. There's two problems that really hinder God working in our life. Two excesses, the excess of pride and the excess of humility. Both of those are just as dangerous. What do I mean by that? Excess of pride means not me, not my problem. The excess of humility means I can't do it. I'm nothing. You see me? Look at me. Look at what I have. Look, it's just as bad. Moses had lost that point. He was looking at the power that he had instead of the power that God had. And that's one of the reasons why we don't take the gospel more to a lost and dying world, because we're looking at our power, our strength, our limitations. This is, happens in every day of our life. You want to know sometimes why problems consume us? Because of I can't handle it. Who said you had to handle it all by yourself? Who told you that lie but Satan? Who told you had to bear all these burdens by yourself? Where'd you get that from? It wasn't Scripture. So why do we consume that and then we turn around and cry to God like he put all his on us, when he's begging for us to give him some of that stuff so that we can move freely, that we can move with joy and peace in our hearts? Think about this. That was an example, and again, of a minister who was really, really discouraged. He was a preacher back in the 1600s, 1700s. Really discouraged. So discouraged that his wife thought of a clever idea to bring him out of this funk he was in. So what she started doing, out of nowhere, she started dressing in black, putting on ashes on her face. And he didn't say anything for about 2 or 3 days. But then on that third day, he finally asked his wife, he says, honey, who died? Her response was, God died, based on you. He got the message. Based on the fact he was so discouraged, she was showing him that in his mind, God was dead. Based on the fact that he was so woe is me, he had come to the conclusion by his actions that God was dead. What about us today? What about us today? Many of us are walking around in sackcloth with ashes on like we have no God. Many of us are consumed with misery, discouragement, and anxiety because we have made up in our mind by our actions that God is dead. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, our God is alive, as he was the day he created us and created this earth. We serve a living God, not a dead God. We serve a God whose power is limitless, while ours is limited. When are we going to grasp that concept? When are we going to realize that God didn't ask us to do everything, but we do the same thing Moses does? Well, who am I? I'm nobody, God. Is that really the way you see yourself? No wonder you're dealing with the situations and the feelings you're dealing with. Maybe, just maybe, we can grasp what Paul says when he says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It wasn't him he was going to do all things through. It was Christ. This is the problem that Moses had initially. This is the first excuse he gave God. I don't have time to go into the rest of them. This is the first excuse he gave God. God cares about the lost more than anything. What about us? Reminds me of another story in closing. That was a lady whose town had been taken over by an army. So her last plea, her last request to this army that had taken over everything and pillaged the town was, let me go back and get the things most precious to me. So the general said, go ahead. You got 24 hours to get in and get out of town. The woman and those who were with her, because she asked for a whole group of women, they disappeared. Then the next day they see them with their husband on the back, with the children on the back, with the neighbors on the back, not possessions. See, what mattered most to them was the people in their lives. What matters most to God is not our possessions, it's souls. What about us? What matters most to you? Another example is this. Do you realize, well, everybody knows the story about the Titanic, right? There were over 11 millionaires on the Titanic, worth about $300 million. So there was this one millionaire who survived, and he was in the water, and all he could think about was going back to get his possessions. And money and jewelry and expensive things, he had about $300,000 locked up in a safe. He climbed back on the Titanic as it was going down, and then he came to his senses. What am I doing? That stuff won't matter if I lose my life. What about us? What are you climbing back on? What sinking ship are you climbing back on? And you're forgetting what matters the most. What matters the most is our life with God. What matters the most to God are the souls that are lost and dying outside his body. And until we catch that vision, until we catch that fire that God has, we're going to struggle to evangelize like we should. We're going to be so tied up in things that the greater and the weightier things won't matter. Moses had done this. He had went to his retirement plan. He was there, had a good head of sheep, and God called him at 80 years. Now, many of us would have used the excuse of our age. Doesn't matter to God. And you may can't do what you used to do, but you can still be of use to God in some form or fashion. Many of us would have said, well, God, do you know how many problems I got? Do you know what I'm dealing with, God? Do you see my problems, God? He doesn't care about that. He just said, I'll help you with those. Because notice what he says in verse number 12. In closing, I want to read that first. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Israel? And he said, certainly I will be with you. Stop worrying, I'm with you. I'm not going to send you there by yourself. I'm with you. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought from the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now think about what he says with that. If that's not a guarantee of victory, I don't know what is. I'm sending you to Pharaoh, but the sign I'm giving you is, which means it's in the future, is that sooner or later, y'all going to come back here and worship on this very mountain that you're standing on. If that's not a guarantee of victory, I don't know what is. So when we see Christ has given us the victory, what do you think? Because it's made the same promise to us today. Now, Moses tried to short circuit, because when you go on and read the book of Exodus, he asked at least four times, not for Israel to be freed completely, but if they could be free for a few days to go worship on this Mount Horeb. He didn't understand. His faith in God was not full yet. He thought that maybe they would take a vacation there, worship for 2 or 3 days, and come back to slavery. He missed the point. God is saying, I'm guaranteeing this victory because I'm with you, not only before you, I'm also behind you. One of the more interesting lessons to cover, and I may cover this next week because I'm in the book of Exodus and want to learn some lessons from it. But I want you to think about when God rescued them. I want you to think about when God, they came to the edge of the Red Sea. And all those people were murmuring and complaining. And Moses stretched out his rod, his staff, and the waters parted. And they walked across, not through mud, family, on dry land. In the midst of that, and I go into this more in detail probably next week, when they got across, if you read Exodus chapter 14, he says God took the wheels off the chariot so they couldn't cross. Did you hear what I said? God said he took the wheels off the chariot that they couldn't cross. And you mean to think, tell me that God can't take care of your enemies and problems? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you've been thinking in your life? Is that why your peace and joy is gone? And on top of this, that cloud, it was a cloud of light to the Israelites But the same cloud was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians. The same cloud. That's our God at work. The same God that lit their way at night was blackness and darkness to the Egyptians. God is already with us. He's already given us a victory in life. He has a plan for us. But he says, I'm going to go with you. He wants us to stop worrying about our little measly issues. Because then they get in the way of us doing what God really wants us to do. What about us? How many of you have turned your peace over to your problems? How many of you have given your joy to Satan? And it comes disguised in anxiety. It comes designed in depression. It comes hidden in bad, negative thoughts. It comes hidden in woe is me. It comes hidden in excessive humility to the point where I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I can't do this. Woe is me. That's not the attitude God wants us to have. That's not living a victorious life. And the only way I can tell you the testimony is the testimony. Trust and do things his way. When you place his mission first, you'll see a whole lot of things clear up. When you want to do his will first, not thy will, my will, but thy will be done. Get me out of the way. Me been messing it up your whole life. Get me out of the way and do things God's way. And you will see some things that it will honestly blow your mind. Now, I can't tell you how it's going to do it. I just got to tell you that you trust him, and then you go about your normal day. You trust him, and you do what you can to serve God, and you'll see him intervene himself in every aspect of your life. You'll see things come to light. You'll see his hand working behind the scenes. You'll see him opening doors for you that nobody could close. You'll see him making sure you have all your needs met when you don't even know how they were met. But you got to trust him. And that's our problem. Because we're too busy trusting me. Trust me going to get you in trouble. Trust me going to mean you're going to run out of energy sooner or later. Trust me means your resources are limited. Your money can only go so far. Trust me means that I don't see how. And because I don't see how I'm going to make it tomorrow, I'm going to worry about it and fret about it today, tonight, and in the morning. When are you going to give it up? When are you going to give it up? We serve an awesome God, but he can only do what we allow him to do in our life. Christ even had that same problem, didn't he? He couldn't even heal people in his own hometown of Capernaum. Not that his power was running short or he needed to be recharged. He says because of their unbelief. Unbelief will start a lot of stuff in your life. Unbelief will cause you to stumble when God wants you to walk. Unbelief will cause you to give up on God because you got your eyes on others. Unbelief will do all those things. And we learned something from Moses. We'll learn some more in a little while next week or whenever I get back to it. But I wanted to encourage us today because many of us are dealing with situations in our life that are too big for us, but they're not too big for God. I dare we say it's too big for him. All he says is, do my will. Do what I ask you to do. I go with you. Same thing with Moses. And we'll relate on to Moses. Maybe I go with those excuses because we sound just like Moses. God, you know what? I don't speak too well. What does it got to do with anything? You know what? I'm just me. Who am I going to tell you when they start asking me who God is? Who am I going to tell you they are? Just tell them I am. Well, I am because some of us came back. Well, I am. What does I am mean? How do you spell I am? What does it mean? I am. What does that mean? But they're not going to listen to that. They're going to think I'm crazy. He's the great I am. Who is it to you? But Moses had to get to that point himself. And you know when he crossed that bridge? When he threw down that staff and it turned into a snake. Number one. Next time is when he stuck his hand in his jacket and it came out with leprosy. Stuck it back in and it came back whole. Picked the staff up again and it was a staff again. Now most of us when that thing would have turned into a snake, we'd have been out the door. But if they'd have ran, they never would have seen God finish it up for them. So sometime when it looks scary for you, trust it. Sometime when they ask you to put something down, do it. Sometime when they ask you to put something inside, do it. And see, won't he bless you beyond measure? What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of my sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of my sins, because in that Christ Jesus. And then it starts. And then he starts revealing himself. But he's saying the same thing. I got all these folks in this world lost. I'm coming now.
but it's coming down through the church. I first came down through Christ. But where Christ is present on this earth? Presence on this earth. The church. Look at all the lost. All I encourage you to do is just make it your mission to talk to one lost person a week and maybe one person who strayed away a week. Think about them, reach out to them, and pray about it. I think you'll be surprised at the results, because that's my mission. I set my bar a little higher because I want that much. But what if we do it ourselves? One person outside the gospel, outside the body, and one person who's maybe struggling or strayed away. Just one. It takes all of a minute to say, I'm thinking about you. I miss you. I'm concerned about your soul. Will you sit down and study God's word with me? We ain't got a minute. And God gave us everything. Something to think about. We'll be going more than that as we go into the new year, coupling it with our personal evangelism, our workshop that we're going to try to finish up next few weeks. Any other announcements, but we hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That place is in the Christ Jesus, makes us new creatures. From time to time, we have Moses moments. And we start to fret, and we start to look at us and our long, weak abilities, and we start to make excuses, and then we start to look at ourselves and, no, I can't do it. He never said you had to do it by yourself. Why do we think that? We just like Moses. That's why we can learn lessons from him. And then from time to time, as Christians, we fall short. We sin. We repent. And don't you know that worry is a sin? Do y'all understand that? When it says, don't be anxious to worry about anything, and you worry about everything, is that not transgression of the law? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, it is. It ain't just how you operate. It ain't just the way you think. He says, don't do it, and we do it. That's transgression of the law. It's sin that needs to be repented of. That's how important it is. And many others we do, we don't always say it's sin. So at this point in time, if you'd like to request special prayer, put on Christ and baptism, we ask you to please stand as we sing a verse up.